Good morning. Today's Daf in Adar Mispeh. We are on the bottom of Ayin Testament base. We're going to be starting today towards the bottom of the Amud. Right at the two dots, we're going to be starting with the words Americhatz. Yesterday we opened up, we started the 11th parak of the Masechta and the final parak of the Masechta. We are going through now what kinds of Nadarim can a husband be made for. What we learned yesterday is the Mishnah. Now what I did is I attempted to translate the Mishnah. Boy, did I struggle. Because that's really the entirety of today's Daf. Meaning what the Daf will do today almost entirely is try to wrap its head around what exactly does the Mishnah mean. When the word Mishnah says, it's five words, it's simple. Im erchatz, im lo erchatz. Well, and then an additional five more words. Im itkashet, im lo itkashet. So what does the Mishnah mean by that? So yesterday as I went through the Mishnah, so I attempted to give a pshat. Anyway, I shouldn't have done it. What I should have done yesterday is I should have just read the Mishnah and said, wait till tomorrow. So here we are now at tomorrow. Right? Today is yesterday's tomorrow. And so that's what we're going to be doing over the course of today. Good. But before we do that, just a little bit of background over here. So what kind of nedarim can a husband be made for? So the first answer to that question is really easy. It's a pasuk in Chumash. So the Torah describes inui nefesh. That as long as that there's an element of inui involved, if it's something that afflicts her, so that is something that now will make him eligible to be made for such a neder. Good. What we also learned yesterday is that there's another category as well, which is dvarim beino levena, anything that would adversely affect the relationship. So that also is now within the purview of the husband to be made for. So there really are two categories in which a husband can be made for the nedarim of his wives. One, and anything that qualifies as inu and nefesh, even if it doesn't affect the relationship, which in of itself is kind of hard to imagine. But if we can somehow segregate the two categories, so number one, there's going to be inui nefesh, and number two, dvarim shebeino levena, things that are going to affect the relationship. Yesterday, we went over some of the basic differences that would exist between hafara of dvarim shebe inui nefesh versus dvarim shebeino levena. So that was at the tail end of yesterday. But anyway, what we're going to be focusing on today is just simple pshat in the Mishnah. Let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. I'm just going to read the beginning of the Mishnah. Eilu nedarim shehu mefer. So these are the kinds of nedarim that a husband can be mefer, and that is dvarim sheyesh bahem inui nefesh. Good. So the Mishnah now is introducing us to this category of inui nefesh. What is in the category of inui nefesh? Im erchatz, im lo erchatz. Im atkashet, im lo atkashet. And then what the Mishnah brings down are 10 words. Okay. And now I'm going to do what I should have done yesterday. I'm not going to translate. Just leave those words alone for a moment. Okay, what does that mean? That's going to be today's daf. And then I'm Rav Yossi. And then Rav Yossi argues, and he says, "Ein elu nidre inu nefesh." That's not inu nefesh. Okay, good. So what we know now is the following. Well, the Mishnah is trying to give us what is an example of inu nefesh. The Mishnah presents to us the position of the Tanakhama. And Rav Yossi disagrees. The structure of the Mishnah we have down perfectly. Now, what does the Mishnah mean? Good. Today's daf. So we're starting now in at the two dots towards the bottom of Ayin Testament Beis, and the Gemara starts off im erchatz hechi kamra. Okay, so it's a simple question now. What's happening in the Mishnah? We know what the Mishnah is trying to do. We know what the Mishnah is going to be. We know the objective of the Mishnah, but what exactly does it mean? She says the words im erchatz. Well, let's just start there, nice and simple. Im erchatz. The word im, is that a neder? Of course not. Im erchatz, if I bathe. That's not a neder. So what it sounds like is it sounds like a tanai. The Gemara says, ilei medam rakonim peiros olam alayim erchatz. So maybe she says something along the lines as follows. This is going to be the first attempt of a pshat in the Gemara. And how many attempts are we going to be going over this morning? The answer is going to be a lot. Maybe let's call it three. Three different attempts. But this is going to be now attempt number one. She says the following. I'm rekonim peiros olam alai im erchatz. I'm not going to be any fruit in the world if I bathe. Okay. So we're understanding right now that the words im erchatz is a tanai. What's the actual neder itself? That's not in the Mishnah. And we're going to assume that the neder is, oh, I don't know, all the fruit in the world. Huh. If I bathe, I will now be asur via neder to not be able to enjoy any of the fruit, all the fruit in the world. Okay, now admittedly, we talked earlier in the Masechta that there's certain nedarim that are so untenable that the neder just simply never takes place to begin with. Like let's say, for example, I'm not going to sleep for 3 days. So what do we say? It's impossible, and therefore not going to be a neder. The truth of the matter is we said that legabi shvua, but really it's going to be the same. So over here, I'm about to get caught up in the detail of there's no way you can sustain such a neder. But that's not the point. The point is that what we're trying to do is wrap our heads around pshat in the Mishnah. So what we're suggesting right now is imer chatz, if I bathe, which is a tanai, and the neder is that if I bathe, I'm not gonna eat any fruit in the world. So the Gemara says, Lama li afara, lo tirchatz v'lo litzra and peros olamala. So the Gemara says, okay, but I don't understand. So the rechitza, that's not the neder, that's just simply a tanai. So I got a great idea. So don't bathe. So don't bathe, and the neder will never be triggered. And that's number one. Now again, not bathing for an indeterminate amount of time sounds awful, but again, what we're trying to do is just simply find a pshat in the Mishnah. And if the rechitza is not the neder, but rather it's the tanai, okay, so from a tanai standpoint, so don't bathe. And furthermore, v'od ba'alema rav yosi inelo inidre inu inefesh, delma rachsa v'itzer peros alamala. And also, like in other words, we're trying to understand the shita rav yosi. We know in the structure of the Mishnah, Rav Yossi's arguing with the Tanakhama. That part we got clear. But now, what exactly is Rav Yossi's position? Again, I'm looking at the words of Rav Yossi. Ein eilu nidre inui nefesh. This is not inui nefesh. What do you mean? If she in fact bathes, so now that'll trigger the neder. And what's the neder? No peres olam. That's not inui nefesh. Meaning, I understand that the Tanai may or may not be inui nefesh, which again, we're going to litigate in just a moment. But if the neder is actually triggered, that's not going to be inu and nefesh. Okay, so Ella, so that was attempt number one. The Gemara says no, that we're not, we're simple. It's simply a non-tenable pshat in the Mishnah. So here we go now, our second attempt of saying pshat in the Mishnah. And by the way, when I say pshat in the Mishnah, we're just working on the first two words, im erchatz. What does that mean? So Ella, so we're on the very top of Peyamid Aleph. So we'll say like this. I'm never going to take a bath again if I bathe today. Okay. Again, by the way, that's a lot to put into the words imerchatz, but the Gemara has got to say a pshat and a pshat that fits into the Mishnah. And again, what we're looking for is a pshat that fits into the Mishnah, both in understanding of the Tanakhama and understanding of the response of Rabbi Yossi. So she's saying that I'm not going to get any benefit in the world if I bathe today. So hechitavid. So the Gemara says, so now, what is she supposed to do? Mitzras ana rechitza ala. I'm sorry, tirchatz, mitzras ana rechitza ala. So if she takes a bath today, so that is the condition, that's the tanai, which will now trigger the neder. And now the neder is that she's not going to bathe forever. That's inui nefesh. Now, lo tirchatz. Okay, so how about this? How about don't bathe today? So isle nivula. So in doing so, she's refraining from having to bathe today. That also is nivul. So so both in the neder and in the tanai, so what we're looking at is we're looking at inui nefesh. And so therefore, what the husband can do is the husband can be mefer. And Rav Yossi savar efshar d'larachatz l'nivulo chayshina. And according to Rav Yossi, what do you mean? She won't take a bath, and we're not worried about nivel.
Nivel and inui nefesh are synonymous?
Nivel, right now the terms are synonymous terms. So the Gemara says, okay, ihachi, lifnei hachi. Rav Yossi omer, tanai zein bo inui nefesh. Oh. So the Gemara says, so, but what I'm not following is the lashon Rav Yossi. Once again, now, in this second presentation of a pshat in the Mishnah, so what we're really failing on is explaining the words of Rabbi Yossi. Because again, what did Rabbi Yossi say? Rabbi Yossi says, ein ze inu nefesh. But really, if what we're talking about over here is the condition, im erchatz, if I take a bath, and Rabbi Yossi saying, don't take a bath, don't bathe, and what about inu nefesh? That's not inu nefesh. But when we say that's not inu nefesh, what are we talking about? We're talking about the tanai. We're not talking about the actual neder. And so therefore, in the words of Rav Yossi, what we should be discovering now is Rav Yossi Amar, Tenaiza ein bo inui nefesh. So, Ela da Amra, Hanas rechitza alai la'olam imer chatzayom. Okay. So the Gemara says like this. All right. So this is now going to be our third attempt of saying a pshat in the Mishnah. And that is where she says that Hanas rechitza alai la'olam, I will be forever forbidden from bathing if I take a bath today. So the, right. So Rav Yossi, Savar Nivol Dechayum Alosh Me Nivol. Ah, and what Rav Yossi is countering is the following, and that is that to go one day without bathing, so that doesn't qualify, that is not exactly Nivol. Okay, so where do we land in terms of saying now pshat in the Mishnah of Im Erchatz? So the Gemara says that the Im Erchatz is that the she is going to be forever forbidden from bathing, meaning that's the neder. And the trigger in the Tanai is Imer Chatzayom. If, in fact, I bathe today. And so according to the Chachamim, so that qualifies now as Inui Nefesh. Husband has the ability to be made for such a neder. And according to Rabbi Yossi, no. So this is not Inui Nefesh. So neither in the Tanai, neither in the neder. Why? Because as far as the Tanai is concerned, she can go ahead and she can skip a day. And skipping a day of bathing is not going to be a violation but doesn't qualify as inu and nefesh. Skipping a day of bathing is not inu and nefesh. Now, let me just finish, and then we'll make another point. And as far as now the actual neder itself, meaning not bathing for an indeterminate amount of time, so you never have to get to that point in time because what you could just simply do is skip a day of bathing. So in other words, so according to Rav Yossi, this simply will not qualify as inui nefesh, and the husband can't be made for it. Okay. So where do we stand right now? So we have, after almost the first half of today's daf, it's going to be a short daf. After the first half of today's daf, so what we have done now is that we've now attempted, and to a certain degree successfully, explained the two words of the Mishnah of Im Erchatz. Okay, and it was hard. Because the word im does not indicate a neder itself. The word im indicates a tanai. And what we're trying to do is that we're trying to explain that there is a neder. The Mishnah is focusing on the condition. The condition is going to trigger an actual neder. We didn't see the actual neder in the Mishnah. We tried to plug in a couple of suggestions. And eventually what we landed on is that if I go ahead and bathe today, im erchatz is going on the tanai of not bathing today. And if I don't bathe today, so then what's going to happen is that my neder is going to trigger. And what's the neder? The neder is I won't bathe forever. And according to the Chachamim now, that by virtue of the fact that she is going to she'll be triggering her neder by not bathing today and not bathing for one day, is in fact inui nefesh. So therefore, according to the Chachamim, eligible for afara. Masha'inkin, according to Rabbi Yossi, not bathing a day is not inui nefesh, doesn't qualify as inui nefesh, and therefore don't bathe today, and you won't be triggering the neder. Okay, couple things. Number one, in terms of not bathing for a certain amount of time, whether that is or isn't inui nefesh, so it's hard. As the Gemara itself on the Amud Beis is going to point out, it's hard to fully wrap our heads around this idea. Cultures are different, climates are different. Right. In other words, we live in a very hot climate. So for us to imagine going a day, 2 days without bathing, I mean, granted, we do it on a Shabbos, and there are occasions where we have to go 2 days without bathing. Just right. What was it? This past year, we had Tisha B'Av coming out on a Sunday. Right. Tisha B'Av comes out on a Sunday pretty often. So we're going 2 days without bathing. Okay, but I'm just acknowledging it's a struggle to really figure out the bathing and inui nefesh. And by the way, as I say that, also understanding that in the Gemara itself, right, the Tanaim are arguing, right, going a day without bathing, is that inui nefesh? The Chachamim will say yes. Rav Yossi will say no. It's kind of hard to put my finger on exactly what is the Nekudas HaMachlokas, like what are they arguing about? Okay, that's uncomfortable. No, it's not uncomfortable. Okay, I know how to say the argument, but I'm not sure if I'm fully understanding the argument. Okay, that's number one. Number two, the Ran points out over here that if you remember earlier in the Masech, then we're going way, way back. We're going back to Daf Yadalid. So this business of making a neder connected to a Tanai, and there was a major discussion at the beginning of the Masechta in terms of the concern that you may be in violation of the Tanai, and therefore you should upend and you should uproot the Tanai, because retroactively what may end up happening is you may trigger a neder. And over here, we don't seem to be concerned about that at all. Meaning there's a Tanai, there's a neder, and Rav Yossi just simply says, don't worry, you won't bathe today, we'll be fine. And why the concerns that we had all the way back on Daf Yudalid, so why don't we have same concerns over here at the end of the Masechta? The Ran asks that question, the Ran answers that question. Anyway, see the Ran. It's the Ran is towards the bottom over here, who addresses that very question. Okay. So far, so good. We are now, we just concluded the first Amud of today's Daf. And where have we landed? We set up Pshat in the Mishnah. As we have said it, all we did is explain the two words of the Mishnah of Im Erchatz. Okay, we still got more work to do. Turn to the Amud Beis. We're on the next three words of the Mishnah. Im Lo Erchatz. Okay, and nu, what does that mean? So, Shanita Im Erchatz, that's exactly the Gemara's point. So you've explained to me the words Im Erchatz. Now, Im Lo Erchatz, Echidami. Ilem Damer Tisse Arnas Vechitza Lo Lamalai Im Lo Erchatz Ayom Lamali Afara Tis Sache. So the Gemara says, now, let's try to say the pshat like we said in the first two words of the Mishnah. Im Erchatz is a condition. A neder will kick in if I bathe today. And so therefore, she's going to have to be going a day without bathing. Is that Inui Nefesh? That's a machlokus between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi. Wonderful. Now, Im Lo Erchatz. Can I say the same thing? If I don't bathe today, so then my neder is going to trigger. And let's assume the neder is, I'm not bathing for an undetermined amount of time. Indefinitely. I'm not bathing. Okay. No. It doesn't make any sense. Meaning, Im Lo Erchatz is a condition. So the Gemara says, I got a great suggestion. Go take a bath today. In other words, the neder will only be triggered if I don't bathe today. So nu, help yourself and bathe today. And that way your neder will not kick in and no problem. And again, what's the objection of the Gemara? The objection of the Gemara now is not eligible for hafara. Meaning if we don't need hafara, so there's no eligibility for hafara. Over here, we don't have a neder yet. It's only going to be triggered if I don't bathe today. So take a bath. I'm Rav Yuna Damra Hanas Rechitza Alei La'olam Im Lo Erchatz Bemei Mishra. Okay, so the Gemara now is going to have a second attempt of trying to explain Pshat in the Mishnah of Im Lo Erchatz. So what's the second attempt? Maybe what it means is if I don't bathe in Mishra. Now Mishra, right, we don't have the visceral reaction because even if we know what it is, like in other words, so what? So it's basically water where you soak the flax in the water. Before beating the flax, so what you do is you soak it in water. Okay, I told you I watched a video on making flax. It comes up so many times in the Gemara, and so the processing of the flax. So that I feel like, you know, if I see it, so then I'll understand better. It's true. It was nice and simple. So anyway, so it gets soaked in the water. So that water. Now this is the part that the video cannot do justice. So that water must be disgusting after the flax is soaked in it. The Gemara's assumption is it's disgusting water. So maybe Im Lo Erchatz is the following, that I'm not going to be bathing in, I'm sorry, the neder is now going to be set with a condition, and the condition is, if I don't bathe in flax water, flax-soaked water. That's disgusting. So now, what's this? Now, what did we suggest just moments earlier? So go take a bath. Yeah, but the condition is, to bathe in flax-soaked water. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why I don't like that pshat as pshat in the Mishnah. Because the next line of the Mishnah, Tektani Im Lo Itkashet, Im Lo Itkashet B'Neft. You're going to have to give a similar parallel explanation of the case of Neft. Right? Neft is, I don't know. It's something disgusting. What's the translation of neft?
That's like kerosene.
Kerosene. Okay. So the so now you're going to have to give a parallel explanation of the imet kashet and loet kashet. Okay. Now imet kashet, we could say a simple pshat over there is that she's not going to perfume herself, beautify herself. So in other words, I will never do so if I skip if I do so for one day. And again, the machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi is abstaining from one day considered inui, not inui. Okay. But then we get to the imloet kashet, which again, we're looking at her and just, we're simply going to say, so you're going to make a neder and it's attached to a condition, and the condition is if I skip a day. So, and not just any day, but specifically today. So again, what are we going to do? We're going to look at her and say, so don't skip a day. In other words, put on the perfume today. So now what we want is, we're going to have to say is a parallel structure to the first pshat. So when we talked about bathing, we said the condition is not to bathe in flax soaked water. Okay. So as far as the perfume is concerned, she's not going to be putting on the perfume of kerosene. The Gemara says that, right, lichluchu, meaning the word itkashet has no relevancy to putting that on. Meaning you can't even use the word itkashet to describe that. Which is kind of funny, by the way, because what the Gemara seems to be implying is that taking a bath in flax soaked water, it's still bathing. Yeah, okay. But when it comes to the kisha, like, in other words, you can't even suggest that that's pshat in the Mishnah. So I'm Rav Yehuda. Okay, so what we're doing now is a third attempt. Okay, the Amud Aleph had three attempts, the Amud Beis has three attempts. So this is now going to be the third attempt. I'm Rav Yehuda. Da Amra Hanas Rechitza Lola Malai Im Erchatz Ayom. Okay, so as far as the Im Erchatz, so see above, meaning whatever we said in the Amud Aleph, that's exactly what we're going to say. That I'm never going to take a bath again if, in fact, I take a bath today. Good, that's the Im Erchatz. Good, check. And now Im Lo Tirchatz, and the as far as the second half of the Mishnah is concerned, Shvur Shelo Erchatz. Right? Im Lo Erchatz can be interpreted as I am not taking a bath, period. Meaning, it's a Shvua. Now, as we pointed out in the beginning of today's daf, the word Im usually does not connote a neder or a shvuah. But when used in the negative, imlo erchatz, it is tenable. That imlo erchatz can be interpreted as, I am not taking a bath. Now, remember, we said this in the beginning of the Masechta. Once you say, I am not doing something, so then at that point in time, no longer can qualify as a neder. Because neder is going on an object. Here we're talking about the person. So imlo tirchatz is a shvua of, I am not taking a bath. So, Hanas Kishud Alai Lola Mimit Itkashet Ayom, and Shvur Shalo Itkashet. And now what we can also do now is to say the exact same pshat in the second half of the Mishnah. Second half of the Mishnah is what? Either the Imit Kashet is a neder with Tanai, right? The condition is, I'm not putting on perfume, I'm sorry, let's start with the neder. I'm never putting on perfume again if I put on perfume today. And again, now the Tanai is going, the neder is going to be connected to a Tanai. And in order to successfully not trigger the neder, she has to go one day abstaining from putting on perfume. Can she do that for one day? Again, no, sorry, better stated. Is that inui nefesh? Machlokus between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi. Good. And now, imloit kashet, again, that's shvua. I'm not putting on perfume, period. Okay. So now you understand, by the way, that what I did yesterday was not a waste of time, God forbid. but what I did yesterday is I tried to say a pshat in the Mishnah, and ultimately, after a full day of today's daf, we're almost done, after a full day of today's daf, so what we now have is a working pshat in the Mishnah, and boy, is it complicated. Okay, so now, im erchatz im lo erchatz, and im kashet im lo kashet. So now the im erchatz is neder and tanai, and the imit kashet is neder and tanai, and then the machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi is abstaining from bathing and abstaining from putting on perfume for one day. Is that inui nefesh? Chachamim will say yes. The Rav Yossi will say no. Okay? And now, im lo erchatz, im lo etkashet, that's not a neder. That's a shvua. And the shvua is, I'm not bathing, period. And im lo etkashet, I'm not putting on perfume, period. And does that qualify as inui nefesh? And that's going to be a machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi. Okay. That's the pshat in the Mishnah. And it took it, and it took an entire daf to get to just simple pshat in the Mishnah. So I'm a Ravina Rav Ashi, Hai Elun Dharma Shvuah Mi Bai Leila Misnei. Okay, the Gemara is bothered now by a technical question, meaning that in order to say good pshat in the Mishnah, so now we're interpreting the Mishnah to be talking both about Neder and about Shvuah as well. So why doesn't the Mishnah open up with the words Neder and Shvuah? So I'm a Tani Elun Dharma Shvuah. So number one, edit the Mishnah. Okay. So fine. So you want the Mishnah to say the word Shvua? So edit the Mishnah. I say it so casually, and we've done this so many times in the Daf, where when the Gemara is asking for an edit of the Mishnah, either maybe or like an actual edit of the Mishnah, or no. In other words, proper understanding of the Mishnah. Don't change the Mishnah, but rather proper understanding of the Mishnah is when you open up the 11th parak of Nedarim and you start saying over. Understand that the word Nedarim over here is a broader term that includes both Neder and Shvuah. Ibai Zem, alternatively, says the Gemara, Shvuah is not behind the Nedarim, did not, Kenidra Risham Neder Benazir Vekarbon of Shvuah. Or you could say, simply say like this, and that is that the word Neder in of itself is an inclusive term that includes Neder and Shvuah. In fact, we saw that in the beginning of the Masechta, Daf Tes, right? Kenidra Risham. You know who makes Neder? Right. Bad people make Nedarim. In other words, a good person shouldn't be making a neder. And I know, right, already at the beginning of the Masechta, where the tension of the Torah allows us to make a neder, but you know bad people do that. Okay, yeah, that's an existing tension that's taken us throughout the entire Masechta. But the point over here is that the word neder can be understood in a broader sense of not just talking about neder, but talking about Shavuos as well. Or where are we right now? So we've covered most of today's daf, and all we've done today, which is not a small thing, is that we've set up shot in the Mishnah. Meaning in the Mishnah, we're looking for a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi of what Inui Nefesh is, and all we're doing is just wrapping our heads around the words, Im Erchatz Im Lo Erchatz, Im It Kashe Im Lo It Kashe. And eventually we got there, and we set up shot. Okay.
A husband can be made for on his shvur.
Yeah, right. It sounds like a davar. We said it earlier in the Masechta as well. Sounds like a davar pashut. How far it can go both on a darm and on shvus. Am Rabban Rechitzeis Beinu Nefesh Kilo Rachsav Urimini. So now, Rechitza. So not bathing, and specifically not bathing for a day. So that's Inui Nefesh Afapi. So the Gemara says, let's consider the following, and that is, and we knew this was coming, and it only took 2 days. It's the second day, and it already came. And that is, where else do we have in Halacha Inui Nefesh? The answer is very simple, and that's Yom Kippur. So on Yom Kippur, what's the instructions? It's very simple, right? V'inisim es nafsho seichem. So on Yom Kippur, the instructions of the Torah is that we're supposed to afflict ourselves in Yom Kippur. Yeah. We all know. The Torah itself does not direct in terms of the specifics of Yom Kippur. What does it mean, afflict yourself? So we know it's the final parak of Yuma. And that is that there are five different ways of inui, right? There are five different types of afflictions. Eating and drinking is one, right? In the schools, by the way, you know what they do. They call eating number one and drinking number two. You know why they do that in school? Right, exactly, right. Because you're not going to explain to a five-year-old what Tashmish Amita is. And so, okay, good. So eating is one and drinking is two. Okay, but as far as you and I are concerned, right, eating and drinking are one. So the good. So on Yom Kippur, so the instructions of the Torah is Inui. Okay, now, there are Chamisha Inuyim, there are five Inuyim. Now, of the Inuyim, they could be separated. Not only can they be separated, they are separated. And here are the Mishnah. So, I say it's a Mishnah, it's a Braisa, but either way. Afa Piyasa Bekula. Now, of the Inuyim, meaning open up to the first Mishnah of that eighth parak of Yuma, and you're going to see the five Inuyim, right? Not eating and drinking, not putting on creams, not putting on leather shoes, not bathing, and Tashmish Amita. Those are the five Inuyim. Now, of the five Inuyim, we're separating. How are we separating? Ein Inuy Kares, Ela Ba'ocha V'shos V'osa Malacha Bavad. So as far as the Kares penalty, the Torah says that anyone who is not compliant and anyone who is not ma'aneh on Yom Kippur is subject to the Kares penalty. As much as the Torah says that, So here, the Bryce is telling us, only for inui of achila and shtia, and for doing malacha on Yom Kippur, then and only then are you going to get kares. For any of the other inuyim, it's not subject to kares. Okay. Now, it's fair to ask the question, really, the beginning of the eighth parak of Yuma, I know we covered this somewhat, and that is that if it's not subject to kares, so what is it? It's an issur d'oraisa without kares? It's an issur d'rabbanan? Okay. That's a legitimate question. I'm going to bypass that question, which is really important, and just focus on the Gemara's point, which is that rechitza is not an issur kares, meaning when we're defining inui of the Torah, so inui of the Torah is not to eat, not to drink. But not bathing is not an inui of the Torah. Okay? Any amakila rachsa inu yamakipur and kirachas the chayv kares. So now here's my problem. We learned in our Mishnah that according to the Chachamim, not bathing for one day is a violation of inui. Qualifies as inui. Right? So now that would mean for Yom Kippur, because we're instructed not to bathe for one day, so if a person does bathe on Yom Kippur, that should be inui. Sorry, that should be violating inui, and therefore it should be subject to kares. Gemara answers. Amar Rav Minyana, Minyana Dekra, Gabi Yom Kippur, and Dechsiv Tanuos Nafshosechem, Milsa Diyad Inui Hashta. Rechitza Lo Yad Inui Hashta. Gabi Nindar, and Dechsiv, Kol Neder V'choshvo, Isar, Le'anos Nafesh. Milsa Da Asile Li Di Inui, V'chilo Rachsa, Asile De Inui. So the Gemara says the definition of inui legabe Yom Kippur is going to be different than the definition of inui regarding nedarim, because we have to look at the pasuk, meaning we have to see inui in the context of the pasuk, and then we'll understand how to define inui. Okay, so when it comes to Yom Kippur, what does the Torah say? Ta'anu es nafsho seichem. You must actively afflict yourself. Now I know that's funny, active affliction. Right, the Gemara beginning of the eighth parak of Yuma, right, also tries to ascertain exactly what that means. But what it allows us to do is give us the following definition of inui regarding Yom Kippur, and that is, it has to be readily apparent. You have to recognize it immediately, right? You go 5 hours without eating, so now the stomach starts grumbling, meaning not at a later point, meaning right now, right? Hunger is something that's there all the time. Right? So therefore, when qualifying and defining inui regarding Yom Kippur, so it has to be something that is immediately understood. You see, you don't take a bath, and again, I'm not telling us how we all feel, this is the Gemara's understanding. So you don't bathe for a day. So do you feel it immediately? The Gemara's assumption is not necessarily. Over the course of time, it's going to hurt. But immediately for immediate purposes, you're not going to feel immediately. Ah, that's Yom Kippur. Now we move to Nedarim. And there, what's the pasuk? So kol neder v'chol shvuas isar li'anos nafesh. It's li'anos, something that will cause affliction. So that means to say that if I don't bathe now, eventually it's really going to be painful. It's going to be stressful if I don't bathe now. Maybe not immediately, I don't feel it immediately, but over the course of time, right, it's going to accumulate and it's going to feel bad. So the definition of inui as it relates to nedarim is not something that is readily and evident immediately, but something that will lead to stress and distress. That also qualifies as inui. Okay, so the definition of inui is different for Yom Kippur than that of nedarim. Let's go one more point for today. Rami de Rabbi Yossi, Ad de Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so what do we learn? According to Rabbi Yossi, not bathing for one day is not inui nefesh. Good. Chachamim says it is. Rabbi Yossi says it's not. Good. So now within the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, the following. Rami de Rabbi Yossi, Ad Rabbi Yossi, Mayan Shel B'nei Ha'ir. Let's say we have a spring going from one city to another. So now, who's got access to that stream? The city in which it's coming from, or the city where it's going. Chayim v'chayei acherim, chayim kodem l'chayei acherim. And let's say this decision is going to have significant ramifications, meaning it's going to be either our lives or their lives. So in other words, the city has to take care of their own first. It's going to adversely affect the next city over. Okay. But right now, the water is coming from, the source of the water is coming from our city. Our city needs it to the point where our lives are dependent on it. Okay. So chayecha kodmim. Good. I mean, I say good, by the way. It's not good. But another, it's a terrible decision, but understood. Behemtam of behemas acherim, behemtam kodmim la behemas acherim. And again, our property, their property, our property comes first. And kvisasam kvisas acherim, kvisasam kodmim la kvisas acherim. If it's a question of whether our clothing gets laundered or the town next over gets laundered, our clothing gets laundered first. Okay, that was nice and easy. In other words, our lives become before their lives, our property comes before their property, and the laundering of our clothing comes before theirs. All that's nice and simple. However, somehow, I don't know how the equation works. I'm not sure how to explain the math. But it doesn't matter. Just conceptually, if let's say it's a choice between either our laundering, meaning the rest of our lives are not in jeopardy. I don't know how that is, but let's just assume that that's the case. So now it's just a question of whether it's going to be our laundry or their lives. So which should take precedence? Now it seems like an easy question to answer. So the chayecherem kodem lekvisasam. In fact, that's exactly what the Tanna Kamma says. And boys, it's going to be hard to explain. Rav Yossi Omer kvisasam kodem lechayecherem. And Rav Yossi is of the position that no, our laundry, our town's laundry is more important than their lives. Okay. I know at this point in time, insert wonderful explanation over here. I don't understand this. Now, the Gemara is basically going to say that according to Rav Yossi, laundering is really important. I don't know how much I can emphasize the word really when somebody else's lives are on the line. So I'm not perfectly equipped right now to explain Rav Yossi so that we can all understand it. But I understand the Gemara's kasha. Okay. So I got the flow of the Gemara great, but I certainly don't have a wonderful pshat within the sheet of Rav Yossi. Hashtag visa amar Rav Yossi yesh bat sa'ar. So guf kula lo kol shekein. So if laundering your clothing for Rav Yossi is really important, right? So then that's just the laundering of your clothing. So if that's really important, so how about the laundering of your body, otherwise known as rechitza? That's also got to be really important. And meanwhile, Rav Yossi in our Mishnah said going a day without bathing, no big deal. It's not inui nefesh. Gemara says, how do you square that?
But back in those days, culturally speaking, there would be that maybe once a week. It wasn't a daily event.
Agreed. I noted earlier that the bathing discussion is a cultural discussion. I noted that. But okay, but within the sheet of Rav Yossi, we're trying to understand the laundering of clothing is so important, and meanwhile, go a day without bathing. So the Gemara says, Amri in, and effectively the Gemara says, yeah, you're right, and the math works. Because kvisa alima la Rav Yossi. Laundering clothing for Rav Yossi is really significant. It's really important. How do I know that? Damer Shmuel, the Gemara says, because of what Shmuel said. Hi, irvavisa deresha maskele lide avira. The irvav. So some sort of infestation, right? Bugs, lice, right? That's in a person's head. And they're not bathing. They're not combing. So what does it do? So masculine day avira leads to blindness. So ruva demani masculine day shamamuse. And if you allow your clothing to get infested, so what it's going to lead to is it's going to lead to insanity. And if ruvisa degufa masculine day shichne vekive. And if you allow your body to get to be unbathed. Perspiration and dirt. So so what it's going to lead to is wounds, wounds that are going to hurt. So the, but meanwhile, correct, absolutely correct. But meanwhile, at least that could be remedied. The insanity, however, cannot be remedied. Okay. Anyway, Shmuel's statement over here speaks to the laundering of your clothing is really significant. And meanwhile, if you allow your body to get a little bit dirty, and a little perspiration, okay, it's bad, but it's not nearly as bad as not laundering your clothing. Okay, as much as I could say over the Gemara, it's hard to fully understand. Again, going back to the larger point of, you know, our culture and our conduct of bathing and laundering. But anyway, but at least within the flow of the Gemara, I get the point of the Gemara. Okay, Ad Kan takes us to the end of the daf. Not only that, we went even into a little bit into tomorrow's daf. Okay, and let's quickly review. Let's recap. Okay, most of today's daf was just basically sitting on the words of the Mishnah and just tell me a simple shot in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is qualifying what is Inu Nefesh. We have a machlokes between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi. A husband can be Mefer, the Nedarim of one's wife. Where it qualifies as Inui Nefesh. What is Inui Nefesh? The Mishnah gives us an example. Im Erchatz, Im Lo Erchatz. Im Eskashet, Im Lo Eskashet. Good. So I could read the Mishnah, but what does that mean? So in the Amud Aleph and Amud Beis of today's Daf, a real struggle to just simply wrap our heads around what do those words of the Mishnah mean, and eventually we said Pshat. And again, just as a quick summary, the Pshat is as follows. Im Erchatz is a neder with a condition. The word Im Erchatz, that's the condition. And specifically, if I take a bath today, so then I will never be bathing indefinitely. And now, in order for not to trigger the neder, she's going to have to skip a day of bathing. Is that Inui Nefesh? That's the machlokes between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi. Tanakama says that's Inui Nefesh. Rav Yossi says it's not. And then Im Lo Erchatz, new topic. And that is, she's making a shvua, she's not taking a bath indefinitely. So we're going neder shvua. And the same thing with Im Eskashet, Im Lo Eskashet. Neder Shvua. Good. And then the Gemara is bothered. If that's true, then why doesn't the Mishnah open up by saying Neder and Shvua? The Gemara says, that's not a big deal. Either edit the Mishnah or just Neder is a broader term that includes Shvua as well. Okay. Then that was point number one of today's daf that covered most of today's daf. Second point of today's daf, and that is the definition of Inui Nefesh. By Yom Kippur, we're skipping a day of bathing. And meanwhile, we know because of the Brisa, that even though you're not allowed to bathe on Yom Kippur, it is absolutely forbidden to bathe on Yom Kippur, but not bathing is not the same as not eating and drinking. Not eating and drinking is a karis penalty. Meaning if you eat and drink, that's a karis penalty because you weren't properly me'aneh on Yom Kippur. But meanwhile, if I bathe on Yom Kippur, I'm not subject to karis. Well, why not? In other words, according to the Chachamim, missing a day of bathing is inui. So if you bathe on Yom Kippur, isn't that Inui? Gemara's answer is, Inui Lagabi Yom Kippur is not the same definition as Inui as it relates to Nedarim. We saw the Psukim, we interpreted that Inui Yom Kippur has to be readily evident. The Inui of Nedarim doesn't have to be readily evident. Its accumulated effect can lead to Inui, and that's Inui regarding Nedarim. Okay, that was point number two. And finally, point number three, Rav Yossi says that if I don't bathe the day, it's not Inui. And meanwhile, laundering, according to Rav Yossi, the laundering of a town is more important than the next town over. And I know this is harsh, but even more important than their lives. But again, by the way, and after Shmuel's statement, I'm not saying I understand it, but I begin to understand. Meaning that that if you don't, if we're not laundering our clothing, the effects are traumatic, right? Insanity, the effects are traumatic. So how do you square that with the fact that Rav Yossi allows you to skip a day of bathing? And the answer is basically because they're different. In other words, skipping a day of bathing is, you know, not good, but does not have the same effects as skipping laundry. Okay. The effects